Welcome to Faith on the Line with Amazing Discoveries. What do Little Richard, John Lennon, and Sinead O'Connor all have in common with each other? Find out today as our guest speaker, Brian Newman, shares some interesting information on the history of music and how it relates to the music we may be listening to. Brian Newman has lectured in such places as Austria, Germany, Poland, the Czech Republic, United States, and Canada, and we are happy to bring him in studio for this informative series. So let's continue with this series entitled Voices of a Dying Planet.
Well, welcome to our next presentation. Today we are basically going to continue in the same vein as we have before regarding the history and the origins of much of that which we find in our modern contemporary forms of music. And of course we ended off last time by looking at some of the interesting terminologies and connection that they have to pagan origins that we find in many of our modern forms of music today. I made reference, of course, to jazz music, which ultimately came out of blues, and you will see that right from those very early times, it was understood that the intrinsic pagan philosophy and concept was still to be maintained in the forms of music which developed out of those pagan forms, blues and jazz and so on, and as they grew later on into the more modern forms. We will indeed substantiate more clearly as we continue. Let's go to jazz music. Jazz surfaced roughly in about the 1890s in New Orleans, and it was through the musical style of a man by the name of Buddy Bolden. And it's of course interesting, you see that the origins find their place, the roots in New Orleans, in the style of music, of course, which was developed by Buddy Bolden. And it found its roots and inspiration in the blues, as I've mentioned. And what Buddy Bolden played was, in essence, blues. His was a religious African musical concept, but it was delivered in the sound package of Western music. The key features of voodoo ritual music remained in jazz. The driving, pulsating beat with its interplay of syncopated accents and rhythms, all of these still remained and were played with improvised exactness, captivated the listener in the same way the African music hypnotized worship into trance-like state at the voodoo ritual. In other words, the intrinsic elements of the music were the same. They were carried over into this new form, developed into jazz because it was packaged in a Western kind of style. The famous jazz pianist, Cecil Taylor, speaks like this about the improvisation and spirituality in jazz music. Notice, of course, he's talking about jazz here. And, of course, Cecil Taylor is a very well-known jazz musician. Improvisation basically is this. Within the framework of the guiding pulse in the music, you will, through the use of different instruments, percussion instruments, whatever they may be, you will improvise within the framework of the guiding pulse. And Cecil Taylor describes it like this. He says that most people don't have any idea what true improvisation is, which of course is an intrinsic element in jazz. He says it means the magical lifting of one's spirits to a state of trance. It means experiencing oneself as another kind of living organism. It is to do with religious forces. It is about magic and about capturing spirits. Now, you will remember our study earlier on in the history of voodoo ritual. What was the aim? The crossroads between the physical and the spiritual worlds, where through the music you would ultimately reach the state of trance, the same as Cecil Taylor has referred to here, and ultimately when that right rhythm and that right moment arrives, the spirit comes, the spirit of the ancestor, or the demon as we certainly know it to be, comes in and takes possession of the worshipper. That is the capturing of the spirits. That is the magic. And of course, yes, Cecil Taylor is referring to it within the context of jazz music. Jazz music, of course, developed from that time. In the early 1900s, we had in the blues genre of music, we had folk blues and classic blues, and later on into the 1940s, rhythm and blues developed, and right through down to the 1950s and 60s, where you went into the 70s and late 60s into soul and funk, down into the 80s. And while that was developing, of course, in the jazz world, you found that ragtime and Dixieland and swing and bebop, all the way from the early 1900s right down to the 1940s, was developing. And then, of course, between the 40s and 50s, you had cool and hard bop. Down to the 60s, where you had free and fusion and free funk, and, of course, the musical jazz styles which are developing into our present time. Interesting, of course, in the rock world, because all these styles were finding their roots in the same origins. In the 1940s, rhythm and blues was developing in blues and ultimately came into the rock genre, and then rock and roll developed in the 50s, and then you had blues rock which developed, and rock funk into pop rock, metal, thrash, and then of course later on into disco, rap, techno and rave, of course all the modern forms of our music. They all found their origins and roots though in the same form, and that's why I have laid them out like this. In fact, this is how they are laid out in a book by Joachim E. Barrent, who is known as a leading researcher in the jazz music world. In fact, he's a very well-known jazz musician as well. And he mentions them like this because the key elements that all these musics share come from the same origin and from the same roots. In fact, I quote from Joachim E. Barrent's book, The Jazz Book. He writes here about the origins of jazz and the connection that it has. And of course, as we know from what we've looked at already, the jazz origins go back to blues and even before that to the voodoo ritual music and so on. But he's of course relating it to jazz being the area of music that he's researching. And he says, taking an active interest in jazz means working for a majority, because the popular music of our time feeds on jazz. All the music we hear in TV series, top 40 radio, in hotel lobbies, on elevators, in commercials and in movies, all the music to which we dance, from the Charleston to rock, funk, disco, all those sounds that daily engulf us, all that music comes from jazz, because beat came to Western music through jazz. So it was the beat. Was because of the beat that was intrinsic in jazz that we found the different kinds of music that we use today. Charleston, rock, funk, disco, the music we dance to, the music in movies, commercials, all that. Its origins lie in jazz because the beat, the kind of rhythm, of course, which we have been discussing, comes to Western music through jazz. Now, of course, this is a very, very interesting concept to understand, because what we have done, we have gone right back to the original pagan influences, right back to the early origins in pagan worship. In the early times, since the Tower of Babel, how they took these concepts with them of sun worship. They used the music as a means of causing the altered state of consciousness to come in. We then followed it through to its African roots and origins, and how through the slave trade era it came then to Western music. And of course now we see the testimony of the people who are part of the industry, the jazz music industry, at least at this point in time, confirming exactly what it is that we have already been showing through the history. But maybe we need to ask an important question, and that is, does the opinion of the music industry, the present music industry, support the historical and scientific evidence that we have looked at thus far in our study? This would be a very important bit of information to delve into, so that we can appreciate more clearly whether the origins come from the vine, which is Jesus Christ, if we're looking at it from a Christian perspective, or if the inspiration indeed comes from some other kind of source. So let's look at some very irrefutable evidence that comes directly from the horse's mouth, if I may use that term. And I'm going to go to the jazz industry, I'm going to go to the early rock and roll industry, I'm going to the pop rock industry of the 70s. I'm also going to go to music management people in the music industry, I'm going to go to the rap, the techno, the rave, the trance music industry, and see if they all tell us the same story. And I'm going to use well-known people in the industry, thought leaders in that industry, and see if they all tell us the same story. First of all, let's go to Duke Ellington. Duke Ellington, the famous jazz great, speaking in his Loretto to a drum is a woman, in which he makes it clear that he means a drum is a goddess. In other words, a drum is a god, as we have shown you. So already he confirms that origin of the drum, and that it was viewed as a god or an idol. But listen to what he says, and I quote. He says, "Rhythm came from Africa to America. Do you know what it does to you? Exactly what it is supposed to do." So does he support the origins? Without a question of a doubt. And he even tells us it does exactly what it's supposed to do. If you go to the rock and roll music industry, if you go to the early rock and roll era, in the time of people like Elvis Presley and Bill Haley and the Comets and Little Richard, and indeed I'm going to quote Little Richard right now, where he tells us very clearly in his own words, and of course Little Richard was one of the great pioneers in the early rock and roll music industry, tells us in his own words, and this is what he says, "My true belief about rock and roll, and there have been a lot of phrases attributed to me over the years, is this. I believe this kind of music is demonic. A lot of the beats in music today are taken from the voodoo drums. From voodoo. If you study music and rhythms like I have," he says, "you will see that this is true." So he supports the origins, and he supports the direct connection with the voodoo ritual. If you go to 60s and 70s pop generation, John Lennon, speaking from that era, he says, "Rock and roll is primitive and has no bull. It gets through to you. Its beat comes from the jungle." The African origins, of course. They have rhythm. You see, all the people that were in the industry and were part of it, and indeed myself, I was a part of the industry for 17 years of my life, understand where the origins of the actual music come from. Industry management, one of the most well-known, infamous managers in the rock and roll music industry, a man by the name of Malcolm McLaren, speaking in Rock, in the book or the magazine Rock on August 1983, page 60, he says, and listen very carefully to what he says, "Rock and roll is pagan and primitive and very jungle, and that is how it should be. The moment it stops being those things, it is dead. The true meaning of rock is sex, subversion, and style." Now, you can't have anybody making a statement more clearer than that. First of all, he gives it the origins. It comes from the jungle. It's pagan, it's primitive. And that's how it should be, and that the meaning of it is relating back to the origins and the meanings which were attached. And we looked at some of the terminology and colloquialisms early on in our previous session, that the true meaning is rock, sex, of rock is sex, subversion, and style. And of course you have to ask yourself immediately, are these things which a Christian should actually associate himself with? Remember in our earlier seminar, we spoke about the fact that it is the language of music that creates the atmosphere, and that when you are using lyrics, they must be compatible with the actual music that you are making. That's how the language of music works. Now, would it be okay to use these forms of music that find their origins directly in paganism and then sanctify them, as it were, by saying it's fine because I'm singing about Jesus? There's a conflicting message that is being sent when one does this. What about the rap and hip-hop music scene? Well, Sinead O'Connor, speaking about hip-hop, she says, "Rap or hip-hop is the most powerful form of musical communication." She says it is very spiritual. It has got so many messages within its rhythms, within the drum beats, as well as the words. So she supports the origins, and she supports the spirituality that is intrinsic in the rhythms itself. And she says people don't realize how powerful hip-hop is musically. And then she goes on to say, music is the most powerful form of communication. What about the rave music scene? Yeah, we have one of the thought leaders in the rave music scene, Nicholas Saunders, speaking here. He says, "What fascinates me is that the rave culture, seen as purely hedonistic by the establishment," which indeed it is, when you look at the origins, of course, he maybe might not see it from this perspective, he says, "is frequently regarded as a spiritual event by those involved." Of course, hedonism is spiritualism, if you understand the pagan origins, which, of course, he doesn't seem to understand. He goes on to say that raves are likened to trance-like, tribal rituals where ravers celebrate their unity and shared uplifted state, giving and receiving freely from one another. So even the ravers, the philosophy behind rave is, or the historical connection goes back to trance-like tribal rituals where ultimately they share their uplifted state by giving and receiving freely. And that's the sexual aspect which is being referred to there. You will remember there were three elements in the voodoo ritual. There was the music, or the sexuality, first of all. Then there was the use of herbs or different kinds of drugs to heighten the trance-like experience. And of course, the music and the drums, which we have been studying as well. So it was the sex, the drugs, and the music. There's a slogan in the rock and roll music industry. And of course, you've seen it being inadvertently referred to all the time in these statements. And it's a slogan which was actually formulated by the industry itself. And the slogan is sex and drugs and rock and roll. These are the exact, the music in other words, these are the exact elements which make part, which make up the whole system of pagan ritual. What about trance music? And of course, here I'm quoting from one of their own record labels, Dragonfly Music Record Label. And they tell us about the origins. They say, trance music is currently exploding into the techno mainstream. But it has existed since man could first whack a drum. Right back, in other words, to the very beginning. And remember when we started the seminar, I told you, I said that all these forms of music that we are exposed to today, they all find their origins and they go back into the ancient past, because it is connected with ancient pagan worship. And here, of course, you see the people themselves in the industry confirming exactly what I have told you. What about, and it goes on to say regarding trance music, it says, the music is about feeling, it is about euphoria, and the spontaneous levitation of the senses, which in one word really means trance, through repetition and organic sounds. Now, having mated with the sleek machines of techno, it is about the future. And then Robert Palmer, who is a very well-known musician as well, speaking about this, in fact, he kind of turns the whole thing around. He puts rock as the element which was intrinsic or implicit in the music, and he says it in this way. He says, in a very real sense, rock, and by the way, what does rock mean? According to their own definition, rock means sex. In a very real sense, rock was implicit in the music of the first Africans brought to North America, and implicit in their music were centuries of accumulated rites, rituals, and religious fervor. So here we see very clearly, step by step, being revealed, and maybe we should do a brief little summary of this whole segment, seeing we are ending, in fact, in our next session as well, we are going to look at the industry again, but this particular historical segment that we have looked at. We first of all started off by looking at the use of music in ancient shamanic rituals and how indeed they did use music during that time to facilitate this trance-like state of mind. Then we went through to our next stage and we went and we looked at the actual ceremonies and how they took place and what musical elements it was in the actual ceremony, in the music itself, that facilitated the experience. We saw the use of the rhythms, the repetitious guiding pulse, the syncopated rhythms. And then we had a look from a neurological, from a scientific and musicological point of view, how these different rhythms affect the human organism. And that, of course, was very interesting to notice, that it has an effect on the pulse, the glands of the body, the nervous system, the heart rate. And we noted there, very importantly, that a Christian cannot, just in view of the body temple principle itself, legitimately as a Christian, expose himself to things which actually destroy the body temple. And then, of course, we went into the origins and of the slave trade era and how it came into Western music, both in the secular music and, of course, the music that we were exposed to in our religious experience as well. And then we went into the jazz and the blues and the terminologies and so on. And then, very important conclusion in that segment that we needed to come to, and that was that, going back to our original Bible text, and that first of all was 1 John 4 verse 1, where we were challenged to test the spirits to see if they are from God. and also when Christ said to look at the fruits, that these fruits were not picked from the vine, which is Jesus Christ. And Jesus very clearly asked the question. He says, do men pick grapes from thorn bushes? Can we pick a grape from this kind of bush? In other words, a fruit which comes from the... In fact, Christ later on in that same portion of scripture says, in the next verse, he says, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, neither can a bad tree bear good fruit. Did we look at a bad tree here? This was a bad tree. It found its origins in satanic pagan worship. Can it then, in view of what Christ said, bear good fruit, which brings glory to God? Ultimately, in our last segment, we saw the testimony of the people that are involved in the industry itself. And according to their testimony, they showed us very clearly that the origins are pagan, and they still, in their present time, see it as coming from the original voodoo ritual pagan forms of worship, connected to trance music and all these things that we have discovered. Let's think about those things. Let's pray about and ask God to guide us in the decisions we make. We need the right tools for discerning music. In our forthcoming studies, we are going to look at what is actually good for Christian consumption. That will come. Let's be patient. But next time, we are going to continue looking into the testimony of the industry itself. So God bless you. Thank you for joining me. See you next time. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Faith on the Line with Amazing Discoveries. I hope this series has given you wisdom and knowledge into the area of music. Before I heard these messages a few years ago, I was under the impression that music was just a neutral language and that it didn't really matter what you listened to. I knew that some music made me feel happy while others made me feel bad, and I thought that each individual just had different tastes and that you couldn't just say to another person, "This is not a type of music that is good for you." Is music in a type of gray area where there is no right and wrong? Or does Brian provide relevant information that shows there is good fruit and bad fruit that can be picked from the different forms of music that we have today? To order an audio cassette of this message for a suggested gift of $7, please call Amazing Discoveries at 866-572-9457. Another resource we are featuring this month is Brian Newman's book entitled From Rock and Roll to Rock of Ages. This book is $17 Canadian and shares Brian's personal testimony of how the Lord changed his life from rock musician to being broken on the rock, which is Jesus Christ. Brian's book also helps provide biblical insight into choosing good music and covers many of the insights you'll be hearing over the next few weeks. The book can be purchased by calling Amazing Discoveries at 866-572-9457. To write to us, please send your letters to Amazing Discoveries, Box 26012, Richmond, BC, V6Y3V3. And for U.S. listeners, please write to Box 4480, Blaine, Washington, 98231. You may also visit us online at www.amazingdiscoveries.org, where you can listen to past radio programs or watch video clips on a wide variety of Bible topics. Once again, that's amazingdiscoveries.org. I'm Jason Hernberg. Be sure to tune in tomorrow as Brian continues with the Voices of a Dying Planet music series. We'd like to leave you with a song now produced by Brian entitled Give Me Jesus. That's all for now. Have a great day and we'll see you tomorrow.
In the morning. my cry. Dark midnight was my cry. Dark midnight was my cry. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. You may have the world. Give me Jesus. Just about the break of day. Just about the break of day. Just about the break of day. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus.
You've just been listening to Brian Newman with a song entitled, Give Me Jesus. Brian Newman is touring the US and Canada this fall, sharing his research and insights on music in a number of churches across the country. If you have enjoyed his presentations on the radio, we would greatly appreciate your kind donations to help finance the music series, Voices of a Dying Planet, being brought to North America in November. Brian's series have been a blessing to many in the past, and we thank you for being a part of bringing that blessing to others with your donations. Your tax-deductible donations can be sent to Amazing Discoveries, Box 26012, Richmond, BC, V6Y3V3, or call us at 1-866-572-9457. Again, your donations are tax deductible, and you can even call us with a Visa or MasterCard number for quick processing of your donation. Brian's message is a vital one and needs to go out to all churches around the country. If you are interested in booking Brian Newman for a music series in your church, please call the office at 1-866-572-9457.